church where people are not... I know some people are going to be this way, and so I can accept it. I'm good. Some people are going to be... I like to be in a church where people laugh at one another because, you know, we take ourselves way too seriously. We are not as cool as we think we are. Let's face facts. And we're certainly not as holy as we think we are. And I don't get mad if you're one of these people who doesn't believe in having a good time. I'm sorry for you, but I'm telling you, the little kids came around Jesus for a reason. The Bible says when he came into a town, they flocked to him, where the disciples had to... And I've never seen a kid run up to a guy who's standing there like this. Stinking kids! Don't they know this is church? Never seen it. No. So, if you're that person, I'm sorry. I don't know who you are, so it's not like the preacher said, let me give you the list of the people. I do know who the goofy people are. We went to dinner last night, but the guys there. But I really appreciate your heart, your attitude, the singing, the special music. It was a great blessing, and I immediately turned to Twilight. I said, I wonder if they're related. Because the girl at the piano is the spitting image of her mother. And they even, I think, have the same glasses, but if they don't, they could. And if the girl ever gets in trouble, she can sign her mother's name. Nobody would ever know. But, whoops, sorry. Anyway, this is the time where Twyla says, and then she said to me over there, the reason I never do anything is because you never look at me. And I said, there's a reason for that. So, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, if you would go there. I really love it. It's amazing. Nobody knew what I was going to preach on here today, and it's amazing how God has used all the music. You need to pay attention to this. This is not something, I didn't call the preacher and say, I'm going to preach on this, but it's amazing how all the music from Sunday school even till now is moving toward this point. God has a plan and a purpose for every believer's life. He has predestinated you to that purpose. You're not predestinated to be saved. You're predestinated to a purpose. And that purpose he set forth in Christ before the foundation of the world. And a lot of that purpose has to do with the things we've talked about this morning already, and then what we're going to look at here in this service, and then by the good grace of God tonight in this evening service. If you can only be in one service, either this morning or this evening, leave now and come back tonight. The service will be better. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. Anyway, if you can and you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 18. Have a young man in the church who asked me, why do you stand? Why do we stand when we read God's Word? And the people stood, the Bible says in the Old Testament, whenever they began to read the Scriptures. And what, after standing, when they worshiped, they fell on their faces. So this is part of not just something we do. We're not doing this out of habit or out of necessity. We're doing it out of utter respect. Because we're getting ready to hear the very words of God from His Holy Scripture. So let's read verse number 18. If you would read it together with me, I don't know how good we'll do this, but we're going to read just verse number 18 together. So if you'd read with me and you can, please begin reading now. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us, for your word, for the music, the message of the music. Well, I think of that dwelling in Beulah Land, how that refers to our actually being able to live here on this earth in a manner that shows forth that we are living according to your word and the testimony of it. And then the song that the special ladies sang, that special that was sung about, we don't know about tomorrow, but we know who holds our hand to tomorrow. God, all of these things, how you've put them together, you've used them, how we belong to you. I'm just amazed. And
I'm thankful because you're an amazing God. And we need you. We need you to teach us and show us the truth and allow us to live according to it. You've given us your Holy Spirit to understand and lead us and guide us in all truth. So I pray this morning that those who are here that have accepted Jesus Christ will have ears to hear the truth. And there may be some here that are not saved. They don't know if they died right now, they'd go to heaven. I pray they would see that there is a way to live a life here on earth that's surrendered and dedicated to a life of understanding what eternity brings. Lord, help us now by your Holy Spirit, and fill us with the Holy Spirit of God as we speak to your people. And above all, may you be honored and glorified and lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. One thing we certainly struggle with today is balancing an attachment to the temporary life and living for eternity. Jesus told the disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you," having previously listed all the temporary things that we would call things that we are seeing. Food, shelter, clothing. He talked to them about not focusing on that as their primary motivation, but to seek first the kingdom of God, and listen to this, and His righteousness. Now, as we, if you listen to the music, and I like to listen to the words of the songs, as we were singing Dwelling in Beulah Land especially, but all of the songs today have pointed to this, that you can live a life right now that is living for eternity while you're still living in a temporary life. There's a way to do that. There's a way to balance it and do it properly. And according to the song Dwelling in Beulah Land, it's viewing here the works of God, I sink in contemplation. Hearing now His blessed voice, I see the way He planned. Go up the verse previous, it's in His Word. See, Beulah Land is not heaven. It's the ability to live in this temporary life, a life that is preparing for eternity and seeking the things of eternity. A lot of people like to think Beulah Land is heaven. There's no fighting in heaven. When the children of Israel entered into the Promised Land, they had to fight. The Promised Land wasn't heaven. It was the life that God had promised them on earth. He says He's going to come back and establish a kingdom. That is not even what we're living for. We're living for an eternity in heaven with Christ. And that's what these verses in chapter 4 and 5 deal with. Paul understood by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and God certainly understands, that you and I struggle with this life and that life. Now, some in here this morning are going to think this is just hooey, and you aren't going to get it, you're not going to care, and you're going to think I'm some kind of lunatic. That's okay. People think I'm a lunatic everywhere I go, so it doesn't matter. And I really like being a lunatic. It makes people wonder what I'm doing or thinking all the time. But the truth is that I can live right now for the things of heaven and really lose nothing on earth. Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about things, losing things. I'm talking about losing my mind, losing my peace, my joy. See, that's what our struggle is. If you talk to a pastor, to youth pastors, to people who deal with Christians all the time especially, we struggle with this quite a bit. How do I balance serving God and doing right and laying up treasures in heaven and still live in this world? Well, first of all, let me just point this out to you. This is by way of introduction. But if you live for the things of eternity, expect this. People are going to think you're out of your mind. So it can't be in pleasing people. We have a family in our church that, and I'm sure there are families in this church that have done the same thing. Several families in our church have done this. But this family in particular decided they have four children. And they decided, not too long after Twyla and I came to El Dorado, and then I think it was maybe a year after I became pastor, they decided they want to raise their children according to the Scriptures. Now, let's all be real here. I'm not talking about stoning your child if they're rebellious. All right? Some of you are still back there. You can't do that. That's, we live in grace now, not the law. But they wanted their children to be raised in the, according to Ephesians chapter number 6, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So they made a choice. They weren't going to let their children, and please listen to me. I'm talking about the family. I'm not preaching a message. This is the way you should pattern your life. I'm talking about people who've made a choice, all right? So don't get mad, because automatically some people go, is that what he believes? All right, that is not, I didn't tell them to do any of this. They decided. Our children will not be involved in things that take them away from church. Our children will dress a certain way no matter what the dress code is. Our children will respect adults and speak to them in the manner according to the Scripture and treat them with that respect. Now please listen to me. Don't turn it off because I said they decided this. There's a point. The point is that their family didn't agree with it. And so, they got angry when the kids weren't in the sports and all this stuff. And they decided that they were going to live that way anyway. So if you're looking to please people in the decisions you make based on the Bible, I will be the first one to tell you, it ain't gonna happen. Because people in the world do not understand living for eternity. See, I even distract myself. It's very, very squirrel. It's just squirrel. It's sad. So, how do we do this? How do we look at the things which are not seen above the things which are seen? How do we do it? I love it because God never puts in His Word, do this, without telling us how. So verse number 1 of chapter number 5 says this, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Previously in chapter number 4, over there in verse number 7, he says, but we have this treasure, speaking of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So one must come to this realization, if I am going to live for eternity in my flesh, I cannot just say I'm going to live for eternity. There must be a realization that it is Jesus Christ working in me by the power of His Holy Spirit and moving me toward this different thinking, which only comes by the Word of God. How do I know what the Word of God says about eternity? I must read it, search it out, study it, be given to the Word of God, understanding that this will always be around. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This is going to be in heaven, people. If it's going to be in heaven, this is the connection we have to heaven. I don't know if you read it, if you saw it on the news or whatever, but you remember the little kid they made the movie after about going to heaven when he died? Whoops, he's 16 now and said that was all a lie. Yes, it's in the news, USA Today, Fox News. He's 16 and says, I made all of that up for attention. His words, not mine. His words, not mine. People that fell into that need to read their Bibles. His words, not mine. Well, I went and saw the movie. After his parents told them that he had made it all up, what do you think the world's after? What you can gain here. The boy who's now 16 said, I gave that testimony so I could get attention. Now some of you are sitting there going, there's no way he could have made that up. I'm telling you, I've been party to something for the last 2 years that was completely made up. I didn't make it up, but the person that accused made it up, and he admitted that he made it up, but it was so real sounding that the people in the world believed it. It is, we will fall for anything. Hello, who was our president? Well, I didn't vote for him. I'm not mad at him. Politicians, whoever they are, I've never met one that didn't have some little white lie so they could be elected. I'm not mad at any of them. I'm just telling you, the politics of this world are driven by men and temporal things, not by God's thinking or truth. I love America. Love it to pieces. I absolutely love it. But we're not perfect people. And if you think you live in a perfect world, you need to wake up and smell the delicious coffee. Because you're sound asleep walking like this. Actually, I have a story about that. Maybe I'll tell it tonight. About our daughter. But anyway, I always have good stories. Aren't stories about your children fun to tell people? They are. So the first thing you and I have to realize and wake up and understand is I don't have the ability to understand or comprehend this in the brain. What I'm going to have to do is have a changed mind. The Bible says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I need my mind changed about what I'm living for. So there in verse number one, he talks about us living in a tabernacle. Now, do you know what a tabernacle is? It's a tent. If I just came through reading where they built the tabernacle in the wilderness, and it was a huge tent. God even said it was a tabernacle. The word tabernacle means tent. You know the first thing you need to realize? This body and this life is very temporary. I don't know about you, but I don't like camping. I can do it 2 days, but 3 days, behold, he stinketh. All right? Twyla's idea of camping is having a hairdryer, a flat iron, a mirror to put on her makeup, water to drink out of bottles, to be able to shower fully, to use real towels. Camping is like when we leave our house and go to a hotel. That's camping to Twilight. But still, Silver State is as far camping as she gets. Now, we did go out one time camping when we lived in Oregon, up in the mountains, where it's always cool and beautiful. And we woke up in the morning, 2 days. 2 days we did that. On the third day, we were all like, yeah, I'm done with this. If you have people want to live off the grid, cray cray, all right? Nutso. I want to live off the grid. Well, you're an idiot. Don't get mad. I like air conditioning, heat, indoor plumbing, including the commode. Please, digging a hole? No. Well, you would have never been able to live in my era. That's why I'm this age and not your age. Because you were able to deal with it. And I'm not saying that that's bad. Some of the elderly people, they remember walking down a path to go to the outside doors when in the middle of the night with the little moon and skunks and stuff. And probably my dad has some great stories about that stuff. And I'm like, good for you. I never lived it. I hate going to golf courses that don't have decent restrooms. I mean, it's just crazy. This life is temporary. That's the way we've got to think about it. Your mind needs to change about that. You are not going to live. Most of us will not make it to 90 in this room. If you are 90, you're on borrowed time. And I'm not mocking. You understand the Lord promised us nothing. But 70 years would be the limit. All of us in this room have known babies, teenagers, people in their prime that drop dead. This life is like a tent. And you're not going to dwell here. No matter how much you love it, no matter how much junk you have, this life is temporary. If you live and put all your marbles in this basket, you lose. Or eggs. I guess marbles go in a can or a jar. See how easily distracted I am? I'm trying to think of eggs, basket, dropping. That's also one of those older analogies where people got their eggs, instead of in the store where I think they're made, they got them from the chickens that laid them. I don't know. But people say, well, you don't understand, Brother Ron. I have to live this life. But you don't have to live it like it's the last thing you're ever going to do, because it's not. If you're saved, it's not the last thing you're going to do. And if you're not saved, it's not the last thing you're going to do. Well, I've got a job and I can't go to church all the time, and I've got this and I've got the a big huge truck payment I got to pay and insurance. It always kills me, and I'm sure you deal with this as well as we do. Kids who grow up in church and their parents have made them go to camp, and then suddenly one summer they're old enough to have their own car, and so the kid goes, "Well, I have to. My parents bought the car, but I have to pay to work for the insurance and pay the insurance, so I can't go to camp anymore." And then that kid ends up, like, we have a kid in our church that has wrecked 4 cars, totaled them. His earned insurance is so expensive, he'll never be able to afford to get married. I mean, it won't help him. He needs to start walking. But you know what he's done? I love his parents. I love the people in our church. But they've taught him, you need to live for this life, son. You know what the bottom line is? You can live for this life, but it's like a tent. I took the kids camping. I wanted them to kind of grow up doing it. I never really did it, but we lived in the mountains, around the mountains in Oregon, so it was a blessing. And so I'd take them out every once in a while. And you know that tent, over time, it got all dry rotted. And I tried to do everything to save it, but you know what? Tents were never built to live in. They were built to camp in. Your mind needs to change. This life is temporary. You live for it, and this is all you live for. You're going to be sad, because this isn't it. You live for it saying, well, I can't get saved right now because I don't want to change any of my habits. I don't want to change any of my life. Let me just tell you something. One day, you won't have a choice. You'll be changed. And without Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in hell, separated from God, in complete darkness, punished. Not because of your sin, because you wouldn't accept the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, Brother Ron, now, come on, you're really putting pressure on me. See, that's what he says. We have to think of this as tabernacles. He says, look, this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. If we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, it is going to be dissolved. You younger people in here, listen to me. You young couples, you younger people that have jobs and you're living your life trying to grow into this relationship where you're going to gain this ability to do this certain task all of your life, and you want to earn a certain amount of money, money passes away. Well, I don't believe it. Well, I wonder if it buys you peace. No. When Bill Gates was questioned whether he had peace with all of his money, his statement was, since I've had money, I've had no peace. Now what is he trying to do to gain peace? Give it away and be a great entrepreneur and a great philanthropist so that he can be recognized for his great giving. Well, Brother Ron, you don't know what I could do with that money. Why, if I won the lottery, the Iowa lottery, I don't even know if they have one. Wait, I know what they do have right across the river. If I could go to Harrah's and win $1 million, I'd build the church a new building. You know what? The building's going to burn up. Read the end of 2 Peter chapter number 3. These elements will be dissolved with a fervent heat. If that's the truth, Peter says, then what manner of people ought we to be in all conversation and godliness? Folks, this is a temporary dwelling. We live in tents. Now let me say something else about that. I'm glad this is a tent, because if this is what I'm taking to heaven, don't want it. I'm 52 years old. I've had major reconstructive knee surgery on my left knee from playing softball. I've cracked my head a couple of times, which is easy to tell by a lot of people that know me. I get backaches. I've got this foot thing going on. I have no idea where it came from. The specialist, she says, the podiatrist says, well, you need to wear different kinds of shoes. I've tried it. Doesn't work. My dad, he's 71. He's had a leg amputation because of diabetes. And I love my dad, but I'm going to tell you what. If you walked up and said, do you want to keep this body and live this life forever? He'd say, and no. No. Now, the older you get, but when you're 17, you go, oh, I'm so awesome. When you're 30, you go, I still got it, man. I'm still 17. When you're 50, you go, I still got it, man. I got it. You lie to yourself. When you're 70, I don't know what you say. I don't want to know. Twyla's mom is 90. I love her to death. I love Miss Rainey to death. Love her. But I'll tell you right now, the first person in this room that would say, well, I'm 90 and I don't want to live to be 91, would be her mom. In fact, at her birthday, her 90th birthday, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, Miss Rainey, happy birthday to you, and I don't want another one. She's from Texas. I don't want another one. Stephen said, Rachel said, well, Grandma, are you going to be mad? If you are alive, who are you going to be mad at? Because God's the one who let you live. Well, I'll sure have something to say to him. Now, you know what? If you've lived to a ripe old age, praise the Lord, and I'm certain that there's blessings to it as well as not so many blessings. But the truth is, the older you get, the more glad you are this is temporary. I don't want to live forever. I just don't. If they said, here's a drug, you can live forever on this planet, and you'll just be alive, there's nothing in this earth that's worth a flip to be alive for forever. You can have all the wealth of this world. No, thank you. No. You can have eternal life on this planet. Nah. No, thank you. You can have eternal life in heaven? Well, sure, because heaven is heaven for a reason. This is a tent. We're on a camping trip. We're not looking for a city that's built by man here that's going to last forever, because it won't. We're looking for a city that is eternal, whose builder and maker is God. Change your mind. You're on a camping trip. This life is not forever. Verse number 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My faith tells me that not only am I living for, is this life temporary, but I'm living for something that is more than this life. That God has given me something that is more than this. Look, it's not enough to just realize this is temporary, because if you begin to start realizing this is temporary, it makes you want to commit suicide. Why? Because this earth is not perfect. There's war, rumors of war, nations rising against nations. There's pain, agony, there's taxes. That's enough to make you want to jump. There's all kinds of things. So just realizing this is temporary is not enough. God gave us the earnest of His Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter number 1. He sealed us until the, what does it say? Day of redemption. The day when my body will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The day when I will realize that this life was not temporary, but I can do that by the Spirit of God in me, and my faith grows by listening and adhering to and being given to and studying the Word of God. Now, a lot of Christians at this point would say, if you were here for Sunday school and now you're here again, you'll say, well, he really places a lot of importance on the Word of God. I read this book that says we worship the Word of God. I'm not worshiping the Word of God. Where else are you going to find God's Word? Please let me let you know this. God's not floating around in this room right now like a fairy ready to sprinkle His Word on you. Here, let me give you a little bing. Now you're a good man. Obviously, that hasn't happened. I'm just saying. Or I should have gone, bing. I'm going to give you, my favorite verse is For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Sound mind. So I haven't gotten that yet. But I know it's coming. The truth is that the Word of God is what's going to cause me to understand not only is this life temporary, but there is an end to this destination. Let me say this. Twyla and I love to travel. We love to go to churches like this. But can I say this? My bed, my real good Sleep Number bed, is like 4 hours and 25 minutes down the road south a little bit toward Wichita. That's the day I'm longing for. Because the bed I slept on last night ain't no Sleep Number bed. Now, you have a favorite bed place. My dad used to always say when we traveled as kids, we'd get 2 hours away from home and we'd all be dead tired and it'd be like 3 a.m. and we'd say, Dad, can't we stop? And he goes, my bed's calling me. We're 2 hours from it. I'm going to get to my bed. The truth is, my rest is never going to be here. What the Word of God has instructed me and given me, my mind is going to be in turmoil. I'm going to always be at odds with the flesh and in a great battle. And there's going to be times that I'm giving into the flesh and I'm so disappointed in myself. But the Spirit of God says there's more. There's more. And He does that by His Word. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. If I keep looking at the chairs to be my salvation, these chairs are going to break down. In fact, I heard the guys talking last night, boy, we need to think about new chairs. And I was walking along, and you can see where people sit in the chairs. Because temporary things wear out. Cars wear out. Things we live for, our money is going to give out. Come on. The dollar has gone up and down, up and down. Just talk to our missionaries who struggle with it all the time. There's no security there. There's no security in anything this world has to offer. Nothing. If I'm looking for rest here, I'll never find it. But the Bible gives me indicators that there is going to be. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1, just over a few pages. Just for sake of proving the Scriptures do show us things. Verse number 12 says, chapter number 1, verse number 12 says, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of your glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him up from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which and hath put all things under His feet and gave to Him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. The Word of God helps me to understand this life I've been given in Jesus Christ, even here is not forever. There's an end to it. It's called the purchase possession, the redemption. Do you know your salvation is not completed until you've been in the new body, in the heavens, in the presence of Christ. Listen, if this is all there is, we're in big trouble. But see, it's the Word of God that teaches me. And I have a number of verses here, but I'm not going to go to all of them. I can tell you, look them up. There's plenty of verses in the Scripture that talk to us about how temporary this life is and how eternal life is. And then finally, verse number 8 back in our text, chapter 5. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans that we will all give an account. The Bible says, as I liveth, saith the Lord. Later on, I believe it's chapter number 7, he begins to expound upon what that standing before God looks like. See, not only am I dwelling in a temporary tent-like camping trip, and I'm living for eternity, but as a believer, I will stand before God and answer for the way I either lived for the temporary or lived for the eternal. Well, I don't think it's that important. Well, when you're standing before Jesus Christ, you'll see how important it was. Because if you and I are living for the temporary, what is it that the world needs from us then? What good are we? Well, I'm a good person. I didn't ask if you were a good person. What does the world need to see? That this is a temporary life. That there is an eternity to gain. And it's with Jesus Christ. And it, please look at me, looks like this. Not like this. If it's temporary and looks, it's going to look temporary. If it's eternal, the world won't understand it, but they're going to say, that person's living for something else. The Holy Spirit, through the pen of Paul, said this, that I might be accepted of Him, whether I'm in the body or in His presence. There is a way to live this life right now for the eternal, so that Christ goes, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Since that's the case, there must be this then. There's also a way to live. Why did you live for all the wrong things? You gave all of your life for the temporary. Now watch. And it's gone. Where do you live? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around.